The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Centre Parks. Spot rare wildlife, explore the forest, and have endless adventures together.
At 9:24, Killian Donnelly, welcome home, welcome back, and welcome to our studio. Good
Thank
to see you.
Thank you so much. It's good to see you, Ryan.
You're looking very cash and summery. So you did cycle in the end. I wasn't joking.
I did cycle in. I'm loving all the new cycle lanes that they're building in Dublin.
I think that did it kick off during COVID. They started encouraging people to get back on their bikes and things like that.
I think it did. I used to cycle to Phantom over in London, and it would take me about 45 minutes to an hour. So when I was over here, I was like, right, I really want to start cycling again. And there's new cycle lanes, so I got from Artane all the way to here in about 35 minutes.
Not bad going.
Yeah, really good. Really love it.
Safe?
Safe, really
That's
safe.
That's the key.
Yeah, and I noticed the same cyclists. So we're doing all the nods. Morning, how
yes.
are you? We're getting all that. So I love it.
I don't wear the gear if whenever I'm on the bike. I do wear the gear.
Yeah, I do the cycle shorts, so which has padding in the bum.
Okay.
So that's to all you cyclists out there, get the padding in the bum because it really helps on some of the roads. And yeah, it's great. It's
I won't
great
be wearing those because I think the country has suffered enough. But I appreciate that you're going to do that. As I said, could you imagine? The country just resigns. Okay, let's talk about you and life broadly speaking, because when you said that you cycled to Phantom, it wasn't Phantom FM. You were talking, of course, about your role in London. We'll get there in a second. I want to talk about your out-of-tune piano when you were a kid.
Yeah.
In the front room with half a guitar. It's amazing because for books, I always say you should take the Hansel and Gretel approach to books for kids. Just leave them knocking around the place and they'll trip over them and they go, what's this? As opposed to forcing them down the door. Equally with you had this piano and a guitar. Talk to me about that room and the guitar and everything.
Yeah, well, we were never really told to stop singing in our house. If you were humming a tune or anything, it was always encouraged, and my mom would always go for the harmony above,
nice,
be it anything. But we had a front room which had a out of tune piano and one guitar, and we called it the music room. So you were just allowed to sing out and do anything. My father sang, my mother sang, my brother and sister sang. And I think in our village of Kilmessan, everyone thought at Christmas time we were like the Von Trapps around Christmas, all gathered around the piano. But we loved a session. We loved a sing song. And yeah, that's where my love for it grew. And
yes,
then I discover musicals through my dad, through my mom. And that was really where I started building singing musicals, trying to learn them on the piano, trying to learn six chords on the piano, trying to match that to a guitar. And I just got lost, yes, in that room for hours and hours and hours singing, blasting music.
We share a few things in common. One of them is the importance of Colin Wilkinson to our dads, actually.
Yeah.
Because in my house, there was the vinyl of the show tunes. It was a lovely greatest bits of the Stage Heroes.
Stage Heroes.
That's the one. Amazing selection of songs. And you got that. Now I'm talking vinyl, but you had it on CD.
I had it on CD. I'd always sort of slag my dad about the people he'd listen to and the voices he'd hear.
Yeah.
And now I love them, the John Denvers and the Vince Gills. And he goes, right, you want a voice? Here's a voice. And he handed me Colin Wilkinson, Stage Heroes. And he just said to me, track 7.
That's it.
And he walked away. And track 7 was Bring Him Home.
So that's
I remember at 11 years old hearing that voice. Yeah. And I played it over and over and over and over. And it was just the beginning for me. It just changed everything where I went, what is this song? What is it in? My mom would say, that's a show called Les Miserables.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was like learning all about it. And it wasn't until I got into the show, Les Mis, in about 2007, that I went to see the show before I got into rehearsals, like a week before. And then you see where Bring 'Em Home is
and
in
the
that
arc.
Show.
Yeah.
And the arc and how it exists in the character. And yeah, I'd only heard it at sing songs, at sessions at 4 o'clock in the morning, people
it's
singing it.
It's a very hard song to sing, I suspect, and because it covers a multitude of ranges. And it begins off, you know, when it begins off, that lovely music at the beginning, that gentle...
So the beautiful story that I have is I did Valjean in the West End, and it was like the 32nd year.
This is the leading role in Les Mis, Jean Valjean.
In the 32nd year, written by Claude-Michel Schoenberg and Alain Boublil, and they came to the birthday. So we all go front of house and we all are given champagne and hugs and pictures. And Claude-Michel comes up to me and he goes, great show, well done, Killian. And I go, look, I'll probably never get this opportunity. Can you tell me a wonderful Colin Wilkinson story? He's my hero. And he goes, yep, love telling this story of how we created Bring Him Home for that man. And we were performing in the Barbican. We were performing Les Mis in the Barbican before it went to the Palace. And we had 7 weeks there and I hadn't written Bring Him Home. And Cameron McIntosh was coming up to me going, have you got the 11 o'clock number for our star, for our hero Valjean? He goes, I have it. I hadn't got it. I walked by Colin Wilkinson's dressing room and he was singing quietly The Phantom of the Opera because he was learning the demos for The Phantom of the Opera because he was going to be performing that workshop for Andrew Lloyd Webber. So his voice was The Phantom very quietly. And he said, I haven't heard that part of Colm's voice. I'll write a song. And he wrote Bring Him Home in G, I think. And Colm said, bring it up. And he brought it up a key. Bring it up. No. Brought it up another key. And it went up to A. So that's the famous story that he told.
Illustrate that for me in song, if you can, that arc of the tune. So it began where, roughly speaking?
And
I'm catching it on the hop.
No. It began, so it would have been a God on high. But Colm had this part of his voice that he wanted to explore. And also, it's a prayer. It's sung in the barricade when everyone is asleep. And it's meant to be a silent... The song is called The Prayer in the Show when you get the script. It's not called Bring Him Home. So he's singing a prayer to God asking for protection over Marius. And it has to be sung quietly. It has to be sung like a lullaby. So Colm just found this part of his voice. And it would be God on. And he was like, it's actually more comfortable if you bring it up. God on. It's actually more bring it up. God on high. And then the orchestra just kicks in and everything. So yeah, Hugh Jackman tells a great story where he's
Hang on. Sorry, I'm still... The way you so effortlessly illustrate that story with that high tone.
I cycled in. I'm warmed up.
I'm telling you, those bicycle shorts, I might rethink this. If it means I'm going to be talented, I might rethink this. So go to that high place again and just give us two lines of it because it's so immaculate.
God on high, hear my prayer. In my need, you have always been there.
Wow. That is breathtaking.
Oh, thank you.
This is why I wanted you in studio this morning to share you with everyone, your talent for people who haven't seen you. Because,
thank you.
God, that is some skill you have there.
He did it. It's all Colm. And it's that. I was doing the 25th concert of Les Miserables at the O2 and Colm walked in front of 600 actors. And we all gave him a big round of applause. Yeah. And I was just amongst them sort of going, he's Irish. He's one of me. Yeah. I should go up and say hello to him. And he was leaning on a staircase backstage with a bottle of water and just went, Colm, hi, I'm Killian. I'm from Ireland. And he gave me a big hug.
Did he?
And he went, how are you getting on? Tell me everything. And it was just, he was so proud and yet never knew me, but like to get into the show.
But isn't it amazing that, so from Colm to yourself, that you should become the kind of kings of the West End of these high-end, high-powered performances. The two Irish guys, you know, flying the flag. I always say that about you, flying the flag proudly in the West End. It is extraordinary. For all the talent that they have in Britain and what have you, or around the world, that you guys landed these iconic roles.
I will never forget when I auditioned for Valjean and Cameron McIntosh was in the auditorium and I was on the stage and I sung a song and then he said, the Irish belong in Les Miserables. There's something in the water.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I just remember it really stuck with me. And there's been many Irish people in Les Miserables, but it's amazing where one of the greatest musical theatre songs ever written was written for an Irishman.
Who was in his dressing room working on another musical when the writers heard a register and said, I need to go there. Wow.
It's amazing.
That is amazing. Let's talk about Les Mis for a second, because when you're in that, what is that the role you want to play, Jean Valjean?
Yeah, Jean Valjean.
You don't want to be Javert sometimes, the baddie.
You kind of do.
Yeah, a lot of fun playing a baddie sometimes.
You kind of do, because when you're in the show, to talk to people about it, yes, you want to be Valjean, but when you're in the show, Valjean is on for an hour and 46 of a 3-hour show, where Javert is on for something like 27 minutes.
Yeah, as most baddies generally
are.
You don't get as much scene.
And you, when you're offered Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar, you want to be Judas. It's always you want to be the other one.
Let's go there. Because again, I'm showing my kind of albums in the home collection. And one of them was Jesus Christ Superstar. And the original cast, Ted Neely and that sort of thing. But that the opening bars of Heaven on My Mind's that
my mind is clear now.
And isn't it? But it's just that thing. And then when he starts going, my mind is clear, and that interpretation.
And then he gets to the Jesus, the scream where it's pitched. It's not singing. Jesus. It's a scream. Yeah. It's a roar.
And then it goes into full waka waka. You started to believe. They say of you. And it's great fun though. It's funky soundtrack. Regardless of your religion or lack of, it's just fun. Have you played any of those roles?
No, yet? I was in an amateur production of it.
Where and who'd you play there?
Everyone. I was told I played the 13th apostle because they needed men for the show. And we all got the text and too many of us showed up. So I was told, Killian, don't worry, you'll be in it. And I was like the waiter at the Last Supper, just dropping things down and coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was that. It was that moment where you hear that score, something hits you. And it was written as an album, as a concept album.
Yeah,
it was never
like
written for a musical.
Wasn't that?
No. And then someone approached Andrew Lloyd Webber and said, this is a musical. We can do something with this. And it's just become the phenomenon that it is. And these.
It's dark.
It's dark.
Yeah,
it's
Gethsemane,
so dark.
When he's talking to God and he said to his father, you know, I only want to say, if there is a way, take this cup away from me because I don't want to taste this poison. Like, it's that sort of intensity. It's quite poetic.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I've seen it. It was one of the first shows that I saw on the Amdram circuit in my home musical society. And it was one of those things where it's like, what is this?
Yeah.
When you're 11 or 12 and you're seeing these, you're going, this is a thing? Yeah. Musicals? What are these?
You also touched on something there, Killian, which was the shortage of men in Amdram and musical productions. Like, if you were a man looking for a partner, female partner, at
least. Get into musicals.
Get into musicals.
Get into musicals, lads.
This comes up again.
Stop playing football. Get into musicals.
If you're lonely, don't go on the...
You don't have to dance. You don't have to sing.
You don't need an app.
No, you don't. You don't need an app.
Musicals shouldn't recruit men by saying that. You don't need an app. Just
get
up.
Into musicals.
Let's talk about your wife, Louise, because you met her at one point and it wasn't the right point, and then things changed. So what was that first point?
That first point was Louise was already in London doing the circuit. She was in We Will Rock You and Singing in the Rain. And I saw her in We Will Rock You, but we had mutual friends and never had met. Mm-hmm. So sort of mutual friends put us in contact through like Facebook or something. And, oh, can I come and see your show? Can I come and see your show? And she denies this, but I asked her out over... 15 years, I asked her out about 3 times, but she would go, absolutely, I'll meet you for a coffee, but just so you know, I am with someone.
So she denied you 3. This is biblical now.
Absolutely. Yeah, here we go. Jesus Christ Superstar. Denied me 3 times. Right, so I'm currently writing the musical. And then it took me to get Val John in the UK and Ireland tour there in 2018.
Yeah.
And we went to Dublin for 6 weeks across Christmas.
God, the things people will do for love.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and Louise was in Dublin at the time, so she came to see me. And then that same mutual friend said, look, just so you know, Louise is now single. I went, right, okay. Yeah. So I gave the performance of my life and I went up to her afterwards and she was like, well done. And she'll always play it cool. Yeah. And I was like, can we go for a coffee? Can we just... So the rest is history.
And
I
you had been Valjean. Is that what you said?
Yeah. So if you... So in order to get my wife, I had to get Valjean in Les Miserables. So lads, join musicals.
Join musicals and you'll meet the love of your life. It's a neat narrative, isn't it?
Yeah, that worked out. It's beautiful.
I've asked you this before, but I do want to ask again about, say, Phantom, for example. So how long did you play the West End most recently?
18 months. So I was given a year's contract and then I was allowed to stay for another 6 months. And then it was like, right, I'll pop home. So I was 18 months.
18
the
months.
End.
And is that finished now?
That's finished park.
For
I
now.
Guess when you work for Cameron's, you're never really gone. The
you're
door's
on the books
open.
Or you're in the stable, as it were.
I guess it was that thing. If I get Valjean and Phantom under my belt, I can be a Valjean and Phantom for
whenever.
World.
Okay, so like Colm Wilkinson in Toronto and where he spent so much time. How many times a week in those 18 months were you playing Phantom?
8 times a week.
And that's...
The 8 shows a week, the full 8 shows.
Which is 5 nights.
Six
nights.
6 nights, 2 matinees.
2 matinees, that's Wednesday and Saturday.
Wednesday and Saturday, yeah.
Okay. Tell me how you maintain an interest in the same songs and notes day in, day out, sometimes twice daily, Without wanting to rip the mask off and run to McDonald's and just order a Happy Meal?
Excellent question. And it's the people you work with. Every show has a 3-month honeymoon period.
Okay, interesting.
And then when you get into that 4th month, you're like, okay, now I'm just putting on the clothes. And I think I've said to you before, there have been times that I've been singing Bring 'Em Home on the West End, thinking of when's the Tesco shop arriving?
No.
Is it 3 or 4?
It's terrible when you're not engaged. Yes, yeah.
But understudies and swings that are in the show.
Now, what are swings?
Well, I started as a swing in Les Mis, and my job wasn't, you're going to play this one role for the next 12 months. It was, you're going to cover these 10 roles for the next 12 months. So I had 10 roles to learn, 10 roles to play. Yeah. And in a 12-month contract, there's 4 weeks holidays, there's sick days, so people will be off. And you would be playing different roles. Once a week, you'd probably go through about 3 or 4 roles. So mm-hmm. you learnt on the job. It was the best training I could have ever asked for.
Okay.
So when you're Phantom, you've got 4 different alternate Christines to work with. So your Christine Daae could be sick and then the first cover goes on or the second cover.
And what does that do to your performance?
It changes the entire show.
Wow. Okay.
Because I'll say, there are some actors who go, this is my, this is how I do it and you've got to work around me. Where I go, look, I know the show and I know my track of where I have to go. Let's do your show. So I'm able to guide you if you're an understudy and you've never been on before. I can help you in scenes. The one thing was helping into the boat because the actor would go off stage right and I go, no, we got to get in the boat now. So it's like, oh, the boat.
The boat. Don't forget
the boat.
Can't
do Phantom without the boat.
Okay.
So it changes the entire show.
Yeah.
And that for me is like suddenly 12 months go by and it's done. After 6 months is when they're sort of saying, do you want to stay for another year?
Yeah.
So then you realise, are we already halfway through?
Yeah.
And coming back to Phantom, it was similar to Les Mis. You're always doing things with Phantom. You're 3 months in and suddenly they go, so you're now singing at the Queen's Jubilee.
Oh, I see. So before you know it, you're doing
so you're off next Saturday and you have to go down to Buckingham Palace for a dress rehearsal and then you're on the Sunday. And all those things happen because it's the Phantom in the Phantom of the Opera. When you're a Val John in Les Mis, someone like you, of course, will know who I'm talking about. But a lot of the general public go, oh, I've heard of Les Mis and Val John.
See, Hugh Jackman is
exactly. But when you say I'm Phantom,
it's a cultural icon.
And so they know immediately. So he's everywhere. They want him to open everything. The Tesco's.
The Tesco's you were thinking about. I must do that opening of Tesco's next week. The mask, the iconic mask that Phantom wears. But before I ask you where it's gone, putting it on for the first time, for example, was that a buzz?
Yes, absolutely. There's a guy,
especially in the West End, I suppose.
And they make 6 masks for you. And what used to happen was you went to, I've forgotten his name, but you used to go to the makeup artist who did The Elephant Man. You used to go to his house for the weekend and he'd pour the mold over you and you'd have straws out your nose and your mouth. Now it's all done with a laptop and they fire a light into your face and then this 4D cast comes out and they make it on your face. So they make 6 masks for you and you have your 2 favourites throughout the 12 months of a run because it's a nice pair of shoes it just sits on. So yes, the first time it got onto me, I was like, wow, because there's such prosthetics underneath your face. You're in the chair for 2 hours getting all that stuff on and then they pop the mask on. I've been lucky to do a few characters, but a lot of people and actors I'll work with, they go, I need to get into the costume before I feel the character.
Oh.
And I've never been
You've
like
never
that.
Felt like that.
Never
that,
been like that.
That.
Until Phantom.
Oh.
Because when you're doing a tech rehearsal and you're in your shorts and flip-flops and t-shirt, I was like, I need to feel sexy. I need
Phantom-y.
To feel Phantom-y.
Or menacing and creepy.
Menacing and
you
creepy.
You say sexy, but I mean, I've seen Phantom in the Opera.
I played it sexy.
He's a creep looking through a two-way mirror. Let's face it. I mean, he
100%.
How he has been cancelled.
100%.
Cancel the Phantom.
We always talked about this. We were teching the mirror. And I was like, is this weird to anyone else? Like,
yes.
I'm just standing watching her sing.
We seem to just constantly roll with it, going, oh, there's the Phantom looking through a two-way mirror. Wait a minute.
Absolutely.
You weirdo.
Yeah. Come down to my lair. I've got a boat. I'll sing you a few tunes on the organ. You'll love it.
Come on, Christine. We can do this. Christine. Yeah, bring the mace. That's the Phantom I want to say. By the way, how did you get those injuries, Phantom? Oh, it was a bottle of mace. That's the alternative Phantom.
That's the sequel.
We should write that. Who knew?
Phantom of the Mace.
Oh, yeah. I want to go and see that. Okay, Phantom of the Mace. God, how did we get here?
I don't know.
Let's keep going.
I love it.
Let's keep going.
Join musicals, lads. Join musicals.
You'll have crack and you'll meet somebody important in your life. What was the song of songs in Phantom that you loved to sing that you never got tired of?
Oh, Music of the Night. There are these songs that are just written that, like, Michael Crawford originated it, and what he did, where he walked and how he hit notes in certain places, it just sits well. Andrew Lloyd Webber loves to write in D flat. And D flat,
What does that sound like? I'm going to put you on the spot if you can. Are you talking about Music of the Night?
Yes.
So do you want to give us a couple of lines from it and then to get into character? Do you want a two-way mirror and a pan of mace? Sorry.
Yes.
I mean, if you want to get into character.
D flat. I did a workshop with him, and I remember another person said, "You love to write in D flat." And he goes, "D flat is the most romantic chord ever."
Lovely, okay.
And he goes, "I wrote a lot of Phantom in D flat." And I just found by singing Phantom, it sits so well in my voice. Where we, nighttime sharpens, heightens each sensation. Darkness stirs and wakes imagination. Silently the senses abandon their defenses. So very similar.
Take it to the finish of the.
Senses.
Help me make the music of the night.
Important to hit the T.
The T.
Otherwise, you're really Irish and you're coming out Music of the Night.
Or Music of the Night.
Music of the Night.
Like that could be in the Phantom of the Mace, is the Music of the Night.
The biggest note I ever got in Les Mis was I kept saying beneath. And it was like beneath. Valjean at one point has to say beneath to the bishop. And my director was coming up to me and goes, "You're constantly sounding Irish. You're going beneath." Yeah. And I was like, "Well, we say TH like a th." And like fifth. All these things. And he was like, "No, just stop." And I was so true. I heard a recording of myself and I was like, "Beneath." And then one night I was like, "Beneath."
Oh, yeah.
So Irish.
What's correct? Beneath.
Beneath.
Beneath. Okay. Let us talk about... Ryan, I think Killian was going to talk about the Hugh Jackman story about Colm. We did get caught lost in that.
No, part. Hugh Jackman tells a great story where we were on set. I was lucky to do the Les Mis movie and he sang Bring Him Home. The day he sang Bring Him Home, he did it 16 times in a row. And I remember after take 7 or 8, he was drinking his water and we were all there asleep on the barricade. And you just heard him go, "Colm Wilkinson, man. He could have done it so much lower." It was just high and
higher. And Colm tells that story when he's on stage about reaching that note and trying to get there. Okay, let's get some texts. Mary is on from Dublin. 10, you're talking my language this morning. My favourite musical of all time is Les Mis. I've seen it numerous times and have a copy of the original tape from 1985. Enjoying your chat with Killian, says Gareth in Dunleary, and you're absolutely right about the societies. It's a long-running joke in my own group that DMDS actually stands for Dunleary Matchmaking and Dating Society. The group celebrated 60th birthday this year and is responsible for countless weddings and babies. That's good.
Amazing.
You can't hide the talent, says the text. When you're good, you're good, and Killian is good. Great to hear Killian Donnelly on the air this morning, says another. Musical theatre enthusiast, self-described, especially as over 1,400 members of the AIMS, that's the Association of Irish Musical Societies, are on the road to Killarney at the moment for the AIMS weekend, celebrating all of the wonderful amateur musical societies throughout the length and breadth of the country who help nurture musical theatre in Ireland and also provide a platform for stars like Killian to progress to the professional scene. So thank you, Killian, for being an inspiring performer.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Somebody else, "I'm crying in the kitchen. The music of Les Mis is so special." Mm. I mean, you talk about bring him home. It's a very moving piece of music, and to call it the prayer makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I mean, it's the sort of thing you'd hear at, you know, maybe someone's funeral and what have you, because it's sometimes some songs are just pure emotion.
Absolutely. Yeah, it just really connects. It reminds a lot of people of that certain someone. And it's the lyrics itself. "If I die, let me die. Let him live. Yeah. Bring him home, bring him home." It's the one moment in the show where every single character in Les Mis is asking God when they address the audience, which every single solo, I Dreamed a Dream, On My Own, Stars, they are looking at the audience. Yeah. And the secret they tell you is the audience is the face of God. The audience is God. So you're asking the audience, you're asking God.
So it's very plaintive.
But Bring 'Em Home is the only song where you tell God, you demand something from God. So it's sung very quietly and lovely, but apparently it's you have to demand and shout and scream and need it.
As a dub recently moved to Kilmessan, says a text. Yes. It's lovely to hear Killian's story. My 6-year-old son is in the village choir, one of only two boys. He will love to know that someone from Kilmessan is such a musical superstar.
There you go. That's where I started, in Kilmessan choir.
That's where it all began.
Yep.
Let's see where you're at. You're at Fun Home in the Gate Theatre. People can go and see you there in live and in glorious Technicolor in real life. July 6th to August 26th, gatetheatre.ie. I am not familiar with Fun Home, so give us the crash course on that, please.
I was on Broadway doing Kinky Boots, and everyone was telling me, in 2015, everyone saying, you have to get a ticket to Fun Home. And it was across the road, and I went to see it knowing nothing about it. And that was the best thing.
It was a graphic novel, was it?
It was a graphic novel by Alison Bechdel, and it's her real life story. So who we're playing actually existed. I play her father, Bruce Bechdel. Her father was a closeted gay man, father of three. Alison was an openly gay lesbian, and she was a cartoonist. And it's her story from when her father... the 4 months when she came out in her college years to when her father killed herself, and the secrets that...
He died by suicide.
Yeah. And the 4 months, the whole show tracks the 4 months over the secrets that she uncovers about her father.
Okay.
And it can sound heavy, and there's a lot of trauma, and there's a lot of... But she wrote it as a comic. She wrote it as a cartoon. A tragic comic is what she described it. So it's actually a comedy drama set to... music by Janine Tesori, and it's
intriguing.
It cleaned up at the Tonys in 2015, won Best Musical, and it was on Broadway for a limited season. It had the UK premiere in the West End, and now this is the Irish premiere.
Okay.
So it's to be involved with something like that at the Gate, and it's a small cast. It's meant to be an intimate piece. But it stuck with me for a few weeks because it was the songs and just the emotional impact.
That sounds wonderful. I'm definitely going to get along. I've in my post-late life, I want to embrace theatre a lot more. So
amazing.
I'll go to the Gate and see you there, which sounds great. Gatetheatre.ie. Killian starred in a Cork Opera House years ago when I worked there. I think it was Peter Pan. I remember saying then, that guy has the special sauce. And I was right. Well said. And Ivan McKenna was on. I say hello to Killian for me. Tell him it's going really well. He says he'll remember from that from the shows we did years ago.
Yeah, we did a Hot Mikado years ago on the Amdram circuit. And Simon Delaney actually directed it. And I was given a line, it's going really well, Ivan. And still to this day, I can't walk down the street or at Ames without someone going, it's going really well, Ivan.
Well, let's face it. What a note on which to leave our most enjoyable chat this morning. It's going really well, Killian. Fair play. I'm delighted for you. You've got a young son, Tig.
We've got Tig, a 3-year-old, and I'll give you an exclusive. My wife is 26 weeks pregnant with number two.
Go on. I'm so happy to hear that. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
That's such a lovely, lovely story. I'm delighted for the 3.5 of you. Here's to the quartet being completed.
Exactly.
All right, Killian, absolute joy to talk to you. Continued success. Keep flying the flag and enjoying life. And thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Thanks for your support.
Killian Donnelly joining us live in studio today. It's 8 minutes to 10.